Thank you. I'm going to need your prayers this morning. I just, yesterday we lowered my Uncle Jack into on this earth, his final resting place. And today we will do the same for Brother Don Calhoun. Today, if God is willing. So I'm emotional, and I'm just ask you to help me stay the course. Today, they're going to bring his body pretty early today. I think they said it's going to be here at 12 o'clock. So we could be mindful that they want to come and set up. So I guess clearing out pretty quickly would be helpful. But we won't be up here long, but we'll try to do it because the service, they'll get the body ready. Like I said, the body will be here at 12 o'clock. So let's keep that in mind. And just also want to thank my brother here for speaking last week out of my in my presence. I heard you did a wonderful job, and no, he's not looking for a job, so leave him alone. He said he wanted to preach while I was here so he can expose all the little secrets that y'all don't know about. Just because I call him a false prophet. but we have fun. But we're thankful again. Everywhere I go, I am so thankful to be there, but I am more than happy to get back home to my family here. This is the place that God has set, and he's put his spirit here, and we're touching one another first and then out to the world. So I believe God is blessed and glorified here. If you're visiting here with us, we want you to feel like this is your home. If you have a home congregation, please go back and fellowship with them. But when you leave to visit and you come here, this is your home away from home. We want you to feel that way, and we want you to know that here we're preaching God's word. And if we say anything that's not of God's word, if you are a visitor, even if you are a member of God's body, you still have a right to question us, because we don't hold that we are right. We hold that the Bible is right. And if the Bible says it, then you can trust it. Just because it comes from this pulpit, we pray everything that comes from this pulpit is of the Bible. But if it doesn't come from it, we suggest you not to follow it and follow God's word. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning after this prayer. Let us bow. Dear God in heaven, we thank you so much for this moment we have right here. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for just being with us. Lord God, we ask you, if you will, have your mercy on us. If you will keep us with one another, bless our lives. We are losing powerful men. We've lost some powerful men and women. But Lord, you keep replacing them with a new generation of power. And we thank you so much for that. So continue to be with us and bless us and guide us today. In Jesus' name, amen. As you hear, read in your hearing, in 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 1, Keith, if you would read for us, and you know I'll interrupt you every now and then, but we'll see the importance of this. Now, when you're reading the book of John, you can see John in all of his writings in the Gospel of John and these four books, first, second, and third John, and in the book of Revelation, John seemed to concentrate on the person of Jesus Christ and who he is. And he seems to concentrate on he being God in the flesh. He really echoes that sentiment in John, the first chapter of the Gospel of John, when he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And so he is concentrating on that, that Jesus is God. And in the books of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, he concentrates on loving God and God's Jesus' love for us. And our fellowship with him depends on the fellowship with the brothers and so and sisters in Christ. And then in the book of Revelations, he really manifests who Jesus is and the power that Jesus has in his body. And he talks about our future. And so he's really focusing on who Jesus is. And so when you read this, and I tell my daughters, I have them read the book of John. And so I said, focus on who God, who the Bible saying Jesus is. So everything you read, let's go back our minds, keeping focus that, okay, this is something that Jesus, they're telling us that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. So we have them just keep that in mind. So as you read 1 John, keep these things in mind, not only about who Jesus is, but in the fellowship of Jesus. Today we're going to talk about things that come against Jesus. Keith, if you could read 1 John chapter 3, the last verse. If you look in the Bible, you will see book, chapters, and verse divided. Of course, you know the Bible wasn't written in book, chapter, and verse form, that format. But so when this letter was written, connect the last verse of chapter 3 to the first of chapter 4. So read that right on into chapter 4, verse 1.
The one who keeps God's commands lives in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us.
So the one who lives in him, he lives in us. And we know that by the Spirit. So John is setting this up. We know by the Spirit that one that lives in him, the one that lives in us, that we, when we obey, he lives in us. Now, what John was dealing with at this time is one particular doctrine is called Gnosticism, or the Gnostics. They believed that material things were sinful and spiritual things were holy or are true. So they didn't believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, because how could a spirit of God come dwell in fleshly sin? So they had a problem with that Jesus Christ was Son of God, because of the simple fact he dwelled in flesh. You have some religions today who will teach you that Jesus Christ is not Son of God. He's simply a glorified angel or some messenger only of God. And so John was dealing with that back then, and we're dealing with it today. So he says, we know that we have the Spirit of God when we keep the Word of God. Then he goes on into chapter 4 and verse 1 and begins to warn us.
Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God.
Mm-hmm.
Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God.
Now, hold up. He says, beloved, and in some versions, in NIV, he said, dear friends. In some versions, he says, beloved. Same thing, basically, his love. Do not believe every spirit, but try the spirit. We got to be careful with emotionalism in church. Now, I'm one who believe that church should be very emotional in the sense of uplifting. The Bible says we build one another up in Hebrews 10:25 as we see the day approaching. I believe it should be very uplifting. I believe there should be a joy here. Jesus said, my peace and my joy I leave with you. So I believe these things should be. But when we get too emotional, there's a danger in that. And y'all know what I'm talking about. I've been to those churches that's too emotional. I even heard Martin Luther King Jr. In a speech, and it might have been his famous speech, A Knock at Midnight. But he said in the speech, he said, people just come and they just get emotionally involved in the sermon, and they don't really get any quality out of it. He said at the end of church, they'll come through and the preacher, somebody come up to the preacher and said, you know, brother, I enjoy the sermon this morning. He said, what was it talking about? I don't know, but I really enjoyed it. You know, we can really get caught up in the y'all know what I mean. It could get to the point to where the emotions override the logic. And so there's nothing wrong with being emotional in church, by no means. But when it's so emotional that you don't really catch the message, then what good is the message? So that's why it's important that you pay attention to
what is being said. Paul even writes that. He says in 2 Corinthians, I believe it was chapter 11, he says, or 12, he says that we have to try and pay attention to what has been taught to us, lest we be disqualified. So I have to pay attention to the doctrine. I go around and I talk to strangers and I talk to people about their belief system in God. And then I ask them, well, how did you become a Christian? Y'all heard me say this before. I'll come up to a stranger. I say, may I ask you a question? They say, yes. I said, if the answer to the question is yes, tell me how. If the answer to the question is no, tell me why. The question is, are you a Christian? Now, if they respond yes, I want them to explain to me how they became a Christian. If they respond no, please explain me why you're not a Christian. Opens opportunity for conversation. But you'll be surprised at how many people say stuff that they really can't explain. They just lean on what their church taught them or what their parents taught them or what they did or what they saw or what they heard. And I go back to 2 Peter, the first chapter, verse 10, where Peter writes, he says, make your calling and election sure. In other words, you have to pay attention to what's been said, because if you're not paying attention, then that's where Satan can secretly enter in what the Bible calls in 2 Peter damnable heresies. And these heresies, the Bible said, they even deny the Lord God who bought them, and by way of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And it says, many shall follow their pernicious ways. In other words, Jesus was speaking to them in the book of Luke. He had traveled, and some men came down from, I believe it was Jambia, they came down to see Jesus and to test him. And Jesus, when they were eating, they ate with unwashed hands. They said, why do your disciples defile the teachings of our fathers? Eating without unwashed hands. And Jesus said, why do you use the traditions of your fathers to break the law of God? And then later on, Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, what happened? They both will fall into the ditch. You remember you used to say, the parents used to say that to you? If ever your friends go jump off a bridge, you're going to follow them? You said back in your mind, you go, yeah. But, you know, the answer is no. You know why? Because you don't want to do something to cause yourself danger just by following foolishly someone else. And so when it comes to religion, we have to pay attention to whatever's being taught. I don't care who says it. I don't care how beautifully they issue it to you. If it's not taught in the scriptures, you can't follow it. I need an amen on that. I need to say it again. If it's not taught in the scriptures, I don't care if I say it. I don't care if Martin Luther King Jr. come back and say it. I don't care if Billy Graham come back and say it. I don't care if Peter himself come back and say it. If it's not in the scriptures, you can't follow it.
Amen.
Thank y'all. That's true. I don't care who says it. And I'm going to tell you something. Satan is clever. He know how to say stuff real pretty. He know how to get you to humming. Man, I hear sermons all the time, and man, after a while, I'm standing up going, yeah, man. You know, it's some things that they can make you do just by speeches. You have to be careful. He says, try the spirits. For what purpose? To see whether they be of God. Why? Because many false prophets have gone into the world. These false prophets are teaching things that you and I have to battle against before we can settle in the word of truth. I can't talk to somebody right off about being baptized into Christ Jesus until I destroy what they've been lied to about baptism. You see what I'm saying? That's the danger of it. And it comes in, and it comes and it tempts. The Bible says that Satan has these three ways he come at you: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Sometimes he uses religion, and he comes in these sneaky ways, and he comes in and he says things in a pretty way. in a pretty form, and he gets you to just amen it and do it. Well, you better try the spirits to see whether they be of God. That's why it is important that we as the Church of Christ begin to take back what we used to say. We are the Church of Christ. We're not identified by buildings and signs. We're identified by the Holy Spirit. And it is that Spirit that teaches us to love and set us apart. No more can we walk around anymore and allow the world to scare us into not being truthful and watering down the gospel. We have to stand on it because Satan is ready and he's battling us. And he's sending people out there to scare us, to punk us, to push us away. But we have to stand on God's word. Because many people you know and I know are sucking this stuff in and they're dying. And one day, God is going to come. And he's going to ask. He's going to ask them about their life. And they're going to look at you. You got to know, we cannot water down God. We cannot do it. And I'm sorry if you know people and loved ones that are in false religions, that are struggling with these things. Don't go beat them up. Pray for them. But you can't water down the truth. You can't change stuff because it's not yours or mine's to change. That's why we preach in the word ourselves, because we have a responsibility to preach the truth. Jesus said in John 8:32, if you know the truth, it'll set you free. What is the truth? John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So we need to stay on it, and the Church of Christ needs to stand up. And again, I'm not talking about these buildings and signs. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those who have been washed, justified, sanctified in the body of Christ. And it's that body that shows love. It is that body who preaches the word. It is that body that shows the face of Christ. You want to see a picture of Christ? Stop looking on a wall and look into the lives of a Christian. That's how we ought to live. And God is calling us to do that. And no, he's not looking over and bouncing around the church. He is calling every single Christian. If you have the Spirit of God, you have a mission. And it's your job to spread the word of God and stop trying to fit in and be liked. He already said, the world is going to hate you. If they hated me, think what they're going to do to you. We can't go around and try to coerce people into the church. God gave us a plan. God gave us a plan. It was one ministry. What did he say? Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. If we do that, then we could cut out some of these ministries that are not doing anything for the church. And the church said, amen. Just go preach the gospel. Just go preach it in your home, on your school, on the school ground. Teach our children to preach the gospel. Stop teaching them that they really don't have to do anything for God until they get old. You know why? Because Satan is coming to them while they're young. He's not waiting to get them. Satan not sitting there with a clock. Satan messing with them little kids too. And anybody who deal with little kids know he's messing with them. See, we ought to understand that. Y'all, this stuff is real. We cannot just go around and be slow to speak and slow to this and slow. We have to stand on top of things. If you are an evangelist by heart and you go out and preach the gospel, you know all the stuff we have to battle. You know all the false doctrine that we have to deal with. You know all that stuff that Satan puts out in the world. You know how good it sounds. Have you been to other churches? Man, they could have you leaving the church building floating on cloud nine, but never impart any kind of salvational truth. But what are we doing? Are we going to run them down? Are we going to preach the truth? We have to preach the truth. Church of Christ, you got to stand up. You got to stop being afraid to say Church of Christ. That's not our name. That's a description of who we are. We are the church, the ecclesia, the called out of the world to go back into the world in the name of Christ. That's it. We're not talking about buildings and signs. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. And if God is for us, who can be against us? So we have to preach. We have to preach. And no longer can we sit up there and make excuses of why, well, I don't do that. That's not the thing. I don't do that. I'm supposed to be dead. Christ is supposed to be living in us. We have to spread the word and stop making excuses. It's the power of God that's going to save. You know what's going to save these children? It's not Bible hour. It's not little tricks and stuff. You know what's going to save them? The word of God. You know what's going to save our young adults? It's not making trickly, you know, little snazzy ways to, it's not that. You know what's going to save them? The word of God. You know what's going to save the older people? It's not, you know, setting in your religious ways and not changing and doing this because we, no. What's going to save them? The word of God. It's the same thing all day, every day. It's not going to change. We need to preach. Why? Because many false prophets have gone into the world. They're out there. I watch them on TV. I see them in the streets. I go to downtown Fort Worth. We was hanging out. Men was hanging out. Somebody walked up to us. You know the Lord?
Yeah, do you?
And sad to say, wasn't in the Church of Christ out there. No, we need to get out there. We need to get out there. I'm not talking about a time that's the best, but I know when I was coming up, the Church of Christ came knocking at your door. Now we got to the point, well, I've heard people in church say, well, you know, I can't say anything on my job about Jesus because they don't like that. Really? Is that what's going to stop you? It's not stopping that Mormon from riding his bike, catching up with you. I've been on the streets and I heard them coming, clink, clink, clink. I'm up there. It's not stopping them. It's not stopping the Jehovah's Witness come knocking on your door. You know how we do the Jehovah's Witness? I'm not trying to down them, but you know how we do them to knock on that door? Cut the lights, cut the TV off. No, we don't. No. Y'all, seriously, people, we need to go out and preach. Why? There are false teachers, and they're by the droves. I looked up on the internet. Do you know, if I got it right, I hope I got it right, do you know they say, if I have it right, there are over 4,000 religions on the earth? I hope I got that fact right. I saw 4,200, so I just said over 4,000 belief systems on the earth. 4,000. If that's true, how many of them do you need? One. And when I say 4,000, I believe that's within Christendom. There are so many different religions and stuff or belief systems within Christendom. Y'all. Yeah. You know what he said? He said, read verse 2 for me again.
This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God.
Listen, he was able to say that. Why? Because the church was kind of fresh. There wasn't a bunch of churches running around masquerading as the Church of Christ. You know why? Because you could get killed. You could get killed. Confession was something just to the, you know, some religious teachers, well, you got to confess to the group in order to be saved and get baptized as an outward showing of an inward grace. That's not found in the Bible. You get baptized to have sins washed away, be filled with His Holy Spirit and added to His family. That's why you're baptized. That's why. And hey, I can't change that. But you have people say, well, you confess in front of a group. It has nothing to do with confessing in front of the group that's Christians. Confess that in front of folks who are trying to kill you. That's what they had to deal with. That's why he said that if anybody confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord, they have the Spirit. Because average folks not going to walk around there and ask to get beat up. If you confess Christ in front of your the people, your enemies, then you were a Christian. Why? Because you knew I'm following Christ. I'm not going to die for nothing. But now, y'all, is it 2 Peter 2? 1, I think it is. Give me 2 Peter chapter 2. And some of y'all know where I'm going. Verse 1. Where I think he said, for there were false prophets among the brethren, so shall there be false teachers among you, who shall...
But there were also false prophets among the people,
mm-hmm.
just as there will be false teachers among you.
Well, he said that there will be. See, Peter is giving us a forecast of what's coming. There will be false teachers, where? Among you. Keep going.
They will secretly introduce destructive heresies.
How will they do it? Secretly. They won't come in openly. They'll come in tiptoeing. You know what I'm saying? They'll come in quiet, stealth-like. They won't say it out front. They wait till we have a small group. We get in the house and we start saying things and doing things. And they say, well, you can't do that at church. Secretly. Bringing in what kind?
Destructive heresies.
Destructive heresies. Keep going.
Even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them.
These teachers will even deny Jesus Christ who bought them. They will say Jesus Christ does not exist. Or Jesus Christ is not Lord. Or Jesus Christ didn't come in the flesh. Or Jesus hadn't come yet. Keep going.
Bringing swift destruction on themselves.
Bringing what?
Swift destruction.
One more time.
Swift destruction.
Y'all, listen. Boo, I love you. I love you. But not enough to go to hell for you. No, ma'am, no, sir. Y'all, these things that we follow just because we feel, I've spoken to people and I talked to them, I showed them scripture, and when we finished, they said, yeah, you're right, but I'm okay. How? How are you okay when the Bible just contradicted everything you just said and you still think, oh, I'm okay? You know why? Because here's a false doctrine that has been taught, that God will judge our hearts. And I want you to know that's a lie. Well, Brother Nelly, turn to 1 Samuel. It said, man judged the outward appearance, but God judged the heart. Nope, the Bible is not talking about judgment. God is simply saying, you look, because if we look at this, I'm not going to have you go there. What was going on? God told Samuel to go find the king, and he sent him to Jesse. And Jesse had these sons, and one of these sons was tall and stuff and good-looking and strapping, I guess. And Samuel said, oh, that must be the one. God said, nope. You remember Saul? What did they say about Saul? Saul stood head and shoulders above everybody. And Saul was all the strapping guy. And Saul failed God. And God was simply saying to Samuel, you remember Saul? Y'all picked a king because he looked good. Y'all look at the outward, what happened? I look at the heart. But God is not going to judge you by your heart. How do we know that? John 12, 48. Jesus said, he that rejects me and receive not my words has one that will judge him. The words that I have spoken unto you, these words shall what? Judge you in the last days. Now, here's what they mean about judging the heart. There are people like the Apostle Paul who are, great people, but just wrong. They're good, honest people. They're just wrong. Who know what I'm talking about? You've seen somebody like that? Good people. I know some atheists that has a moral fiber that would beat anybody in this building. They're atheists. But they're wrong. Now listen, it's some people who are kind and nice. That's why God comes to you while you are alive. While you are living, God sends preachers. I have this sermon I'm going to preach. It's called the three, I think I call it the three S's. First, when a person is living and they're not doing right, God sends scripture. He just sends his pure scripture. Then when they still don't get it, then God sends saints. He sends his people to come and say, hey, man, come on, where you been? And blah, blah, blah. You need to get this right. If you don't listen then God sends situations. He puts you in a vice. My mother used to say, sometimes God has to knock you down just to get you to look up. You know, a person who has a right heart, when they confront the truth, they will turn to the truth. God is not going to get you to heaven, on the judgment day, and go, well, brother, I know you tried and you was a good man, so I'm going to let you on in anyway. Although you didn't follow God, I'm going to let you in anyway because your heart was good. That's not in the scripture. That's not in the scripture. If a person has a good heart, has a right heart, they are getting the truth today. Now the question is, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Y'all, we need to do this. We need to get y'all, airport, we need to take this stuff serious. Because you know somebody who's not saved. And you love them. Better talk to them. It's not your job to convert them. Your job is simply to spread the seed. Why? Because there are many false prophets who have gone into the world. This is true. Jesus Christ died on the cross. Why? This is true. Everybody, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Everybody. On tell. You got your hand up. Guess what? You sin. I'm sorry you don't think you do, or yours is not as bad as hers, or not as bad as his. I'm sorry, but all of it is sin. Every single one of us. That's why Jesus came. At this youth conference I went to, I'm about ready to close the youth conference I went to, I was telling them that sin simply means to miss the mark. Oh, you think about a dartboard. Anybody play dart? You play darts. That little red dot in the middle, that's the mark. Anytime you throw it and miss, that count as sin. Jesus is the only one who played the dart game and he hit the bullseye every single time. That's why we need him. Even your righteous, anytime you hit the dart, guess what the Bible said? That's like filthy rags before God. So we need to realize that we need Christ first. If you're not baptized into Christ, if you've been baptized, but you got baptized thinking that you were already saved and it's just an outward showing of an inward grace, let me introduce you to Scripture. The Scripture teaches that anyone who is living, they have sinned. And Jesus came as a sacrifice to die on the cross for that sin. He was buried, but he rose again the third day according to the scripture. So because of that, in order for us to receive that, we have to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, hear that message. And if you hear that message, then you have a question. Do you believe it? If you believe it, the Bible says turn to God. And when you turn, that's repentance. When you turn to God, you have to confess that he is the Son of God. And when you do that, then the Bible says to be baptized. Why? To have your sins washed away. So that you can be filled with his spirit and added to his body, the church. That's why we don't have baptizing Sunday. We have baptizing day. Whenever you hear the message and you want to call to it, we baptize you that day. Do you want that? We're calling you right now as we together stand and sing the song of invitation. Come forward.